Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump tariffs against Mexico, China, and Canada go into effect tomorrow morning. The president says Americans may feel some pain, but it will be worth it. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze with more.
Prices are likely to rise on clothes, appliances, and children's toys, with 85% of all toys in the U.S. made in China. The CEO of toy company Basic Fun tells us the price of a popular toy like a Tonka truck could go up from $30 now to $40 by Christmas.
Donald Trump advisor Elon Musk now has access to the federal government's funding agency. He has been given access to the U.S. Treasury Department's vast payment system. After a fight with the official who oversees the system, that official has now been placed on administrative leave. Staffers at the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, were instructed to stay out of the agency's Washington headquarters today after Elon Musk announced that Donald Trump had agreed with him to shutter the agency. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced legislation to protect AM radio. The bill would require automakers to continue making AM radio accessible in their new passenger vehicles at no additional cost to consumers. The lawmakers say AM radio is a crucial service, especially for farmers who use it to receive critical emergency information and local news. Automakers would have 4 years to comply with the new rule and would be required to inform drivers if AM radio is not available in a vehicle in the interim. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers are once again proposing an extension of Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers. It's the second time that the bipartisan group has advocated for the legislation, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says it's unlikely the proposal will become law this session. Wisconsin is one of only two states in the country that have not extended the coverage. The extension would allow mothers on Medicaid to receive a full year of coverage to protect against a number of post-birth medical issues. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will host a public meeting on the proposed rehabilitation project of the U.S. 63 bridge over the Yellow River in Spooner this week. According to DOT officials, the meeting will be held at Spooner City Hall on Wednesday at 5 p.m. The bridge is about 50 years old and the proposed work is scheduled for 2028. DOT officials are planning to overlay the bridge deck with concrete, replace aging structures, improve nearby drainage, and replace a guardrail. Traffic would be reduced to a single lane during construction. Officials from the Bayfield County Sheriff's Office say they're looking for abandoned properties to use as training sites. According to a social media post, Sheriff's Office officials are asking community members to share potential abandoned locations they own or know of to be used for training scenarios. Officials say training in a real-life structure offers law enforcement authorities a better hands-on experience. Anybody who has suggestions about those potential sites can message the Sheriff's Office through their social media accounts. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Another loss for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead but lost at home last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Giannis had 30 points, Chris Middleton with 20. Damian Lillard asked how Milwaukee has now lost to the Grizzlies 7 games in a row.
They got a lot of depth, so they're constantly bringing in different bodies and they all fly around, they crash the glass. You know, to beat a team like this, you got to match that energy.
The Bucks are in Oklahoma City tonight against the Thunder. The Badgers are back home tomorrow night against Indiana. They picked up a win at Northwestern over the weekend. NFL in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl this Sunday. If Kansas City wins, that would make Patrick Mahomes a three-peat champion like Michael Jordan or baseball's Derek Jeter.
Watching them and listening to the things when they talk about, that's helped shape my career on how I have to work. And obviously, that's a long way, so I feel like still for me to go to be mentioned with those guys, but I'll try to do whatever I can to be close enough as I can be.
That's the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Light snow is going to end this morning, then it will be mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy. We'll drop down to 8 above tomorrow. Mostly cloudy and a bit colder with a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 23.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. All are invited to take advantage of Ruby's Pantry for a $25 donation. You'll receive an abundance of food. All are welcome the second Saturday of each month. From 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., the distribution is at SMC Limited, located on Griffin Street right here in Amory. Ruby's Pantry. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zippos is back as my guest co-host. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recusing himself from an Act 10 lawsuit. What does that mean? Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm living in the we're living in the twilight zone, man.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. We're at less than 3 weeks of his administration, and it's insanity.
It is a highlight of insanity. It's not the Twilight Zone because it's real. And I don't know. We saw this once before. And, you know, people wanted a second go round. And this is going to be a lot worse than the first. So anyway, how was your weekend, Calvin?
It was pretty good. You know, kept it low key, hung out with the family. It wasn't very eventful. How about you?
Man, I didn't do much of anything, man. I know what I did, man. I started my fast and my cleansing. So I haven't had anything to eat for a couple of days. I'm a bear. I feel like a bear, you know. So I got 7 days that I got to go through this, but I'm sure at the end it'll be worth it. So here I am. My wife knows I'm fasting. Can't have any solid food. And she cooks a big inch and a half steak. That's it. Deer? honey? Oh. But anyway, made it through.
As long as she doesn't leave out potato chips, right?
Man, I can't do any of those things. But anyway, I want to welcome two great people who are doing great work, people I've known for a long time. Miss Lisa Jones and Mr. Eric Fanning, they're both with Red Racism MKE. Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Doing well?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl.
Eric is one of my favorite guys to call in. He's always got his pulse on the reality of the way things really are. Eric, I just have always been amazed at your being able to tell the truth. You know, a lot of people are afraid to tell the truth. Why is it so important to you?
I'm afraid too, Earl. You know, it's just kind of something that, I mean, people have known me for a long time. I'm not afraid to talk. I've voiced my opinions. My friends always kind of roll their eyes when I start talking sometimes, but it's just been something that I think about things. I think. And if I get a chance to let it out, I'll let it out. And when it comes to this stuff, like I said, throughout my life, I've just kind of come to the realization that things just aren't right. You know, the cognitive dissonance is all around us and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, how can you live? You know, you live either sticking that, you know, staying that way or speaking out, and life's going to be what life's going to be no matter what. And so I may as well just follow myself instead of trying to kind of, you know, do what fits and what makes people like me. And I was never popular anyways when I was a kid, so it doesn't hurt my feelings that I'm not popular sometimes. So it's just my truth, I guess.
Well, you kind of sound like me, man. That's kind of what I do in radio. I want to say welcome again to Miss Lisa Jones. How you doing? We've crossed paths many a times.
Many times we've run into each other at different events and everything. And my history of doing community organizing in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County.
Yeah, so you're co-chair of Rid Milwaukee MKE. Tell us a little bit about Rid Milwaukee MKE.
So Rid Racism.
Rid Racism, I'm sorry.
Rid Racism Milwaukee. So Rid Racism Milwaukee has been around for over 20 years. Originally started as out of a couple of professors who were white talking about the need for doing intergenerational conversations. But around 12 years ago, they started to realize, hey, we got some other issues that are real, real pressing. That, not to say that interracial conversations aren't important, but just looking at the hyper segregation of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, and then of course the surrounding areas, as being one of the most segregated place in the nation, and that has not moved the needle. That probably is probably getting worse. The segregation is getting worse right now, and so. So about 2014, you know, changed the name to Rid Racism Milwaukee so that we could really focus on doing the education work, because realizing, you know, you heard Eric use that word, cognitive dissonance. It's like, okay, we want to be good. Many people want to be good people, but how can you be really good when there are systems in place and things that are going on? And you just don't know and don't realize, or you don't have the tools to be able to engage to try to change the systems that are causing the oppression, of course, i.e. in this case, we're talking about racism.
So let me ask you, you talked about, Milwaukee,
right,
being in the state of Wisconsin, being one of the most segregated mm-hmm. state of Wisconsin in the entire nation. And so... Milwaukee, I've lived there my entire life.
Right.
So how much is racism predicated on economics?
It's everything. Everything. I mean, racism is used as it has its history in classism, because with racism, you can actually literally see the people and divide them by what kind of racial group you see they are from. I mean, I can't hide myself as a dark-skinned black woman. I can't hide myself, right, you know, to in any other. I can't pass. I can't do anything like that. So when people see me, you know, oh, she's a black woman. Or sometimes I remember when I used to do customer service on the phone, people didn't realize what I look like. And right. Then when they see me, you know, they're kind of surprised. Oh, this is a black woman. I'm like, what they expect, that I sound white or something? But, you know, and I can always see their reactions. So everything is predicated on race. Just, all you have to do is look at the history of housing, the housing marches. That's all about money and keeping so-called neighborhoods a certain way, not renting, not selling your homes. You know, I know, Eric, you live in Tulsa. I mean, there's just plenty mortgages that still have, you can find, I don't know about yours, but you can find some, I know people personally who still have, talking about the actual covenant, the housing covenant language of who you can't sell your home to. So this is about economics. We're talking about I-43. So if we were to take a look at two zip codes, 53217, and then we look at 53206. There is a 11-year difference in living. The death rate.
Mean death rate?
Yeah, yeah. So the black folks that's living in 53206 will die 11 years earlier than the people who live in 53217, who are predominantly, we know, white. And so when we talk about this is all about economics. So if we're talking about the economic gap between black and white in Milwaukee County, it's so stark.
That statistic you just quoted is staggering.
Yes.
11-year life expectancy difference in America, in the wealthiest nation on earth.
Within the same county.
So I want people to really see this. So if not everybody is aware of where this is at, this is 11 miles. This is like right off of 43. So it just is a few minutes difference. Just go straight down. So if you were to take Brown Deer and Port Washington Road, so that's Bayside. And then if you look at 53206, that begins, I believe it's Center Street or around Center, Locust, around in that area. How could it be that just one highway driving your car, there is such a stark difference in life expectancy? So you have the most expensive zip code in the state, which includes River Hills. So River Hills is the most expensive.
Not quite Mequon.
So, but it's Bayside, Fox Point. So think of the North Shore. And then you look at where 53206 is, and then, you know, and 53206, there's no banks, there's a food deserts, there's a healthcare desert there. I mean, I could keep naming things.
So I have to say that I grew up in 53206,
yes.
And when I grew up in 53206, 53206 had one of the highest standards of living for black people in the nation. It was because we were an industrial metropolis. And so people who didn't even have high school diplomas could live a middle-class lifestyle, buy homes, live the American dream, and they were able to own businesses. Those things existed when I was a boy, or a young man, not a boy, but a young man. And so I saw that slide from a middle-class reality where most of those homes in 53206 were owner-occupied.
Right.
To where it is now. Eric, I'll come back to you in a second. This is clearly a conversation. It's Black History Month.
Right.
If ever there was a time to have this conversation on the Earl Ingram Show and on Civic Media, it is now. And I thank you and welcome you guys to coming on to have this discussion, because many people in this listening audience don't even get to see a black person in their daily travels because of Wisconsin being one of the most segregated in the entire nation. So it's a great conversation. I'm glad to have you on. Rid Racism Milwaukee, Lisa Jones, co-chair, and Eric Fanning here. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. We're going to delve even deeper. We're going to talk about today, and not just what took place in the civil rights struggle, but what's taking place today in our nation.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits,
Or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Red Racism MKE, Miss Lisa Jones. She's the co-chair, and Eric Fanning. Before we went to break, you know, Lisa was talking about the fact that, you know, the life expectancy in Milwaukee, inside of a zip, I mean, a, what's the highway?
It's 43.
Well, you repeat it.
So the life expectancy, there's 11-year difference, the life expectancy from one zip code to the other. So 53217, which is the North Shore, which includes Whitefish Bay, Glendale, Bayside, Fox Point. So that's the kind of the North Shore. Then when you drive down 43, go about maybe 10 miles. And when you're hitting around Locust Street off of I-43, then you're looking at the life expectancy drastically drops. And again, that particular zip code 53206, of what it was, I heard you say, talk about when you were a young man in that community, it is a shell of, been stripped right, bare of what it is. And let me just, and I'm going to just piggyback just a little bit also too on the 53206. When I worked for another organization, did doors. I knocked on almost every single door in 53206 back in 2017, 2018. And it was stark to a number of them at that time were seniors. I don't know if that's changed or if they've become rental homes or who knows what has happened now. But so a number of those seniors worked at A.O. Smith. Yeah. They bought homes around, you know, A.O. Smith.
My dad was one.
So yeah. Right. So and it was very stark to see, you know, the seniors, and some of those seniors in their retirement years were having a hard time, you know, even if we assume that they have good retirements. I think that that's a big assumption considering what has happened over the years, but they were having a hard time upkeeping just their house and you know, you know, making sure you have a working porch. I'm just saying, just the upkeep of what it is to be a homeowner.
Well, many of them have died out.
Yes.
And so Eric, you live in Wauwatosa. Wauwatosa is safe to say a strong middle class community, economically very strong middle class community. You were talking about, you know, a covenant. Let's talk about what that is.
Yeah, there's Lisa mentioned it earlier that there are covenants on a lot of properties and a lot of neighborhoods.
So what is a covenant?
It's basically a document that when they create the neighborhood, they put it in as basically rules like an HOA of today, but when they design them, it was, and the odd part is our neighborhood, this is Sheridan Lawns, which is well known in our area as a neighborhood. And it's basically Highway 100 and Burleigh is kind of it. But when they created these documents, it was basically to make sure that only people that they wanted to be moving and purchasing these homes were moving into these neighborhoods. And our documents specifically are around about the language said whites only. That's literally what it said. I believe other ones would say like specifically groups that weren't allowed. Ours said whites only. And like Lisa had said before, especially back in this is like the 1920s, that's identifiable. You know, whites are identifiable in a sense to most people. And so it's been on the record. They haven't been enforced for obviously decades, but they still exist in a lot of neighborhoods in Milwaukee County and in the country. Reggie Jackson's actually working on that right now, is to repudiate those wherever he can find them.
So James says the 2020 summer Black Lives Matter riots that burned down the cities and ended up killing many people demonstrates how little racism there is in America, because nobody has to pay to replace the buildings and no one went to jail because of the crimes that were committed. I would say to you, James, you know, that's blown out of proportion with the property damage that was done. You know, I don't know how you can even fix your mouth to say that when we all saw what took place in Washington, D.C. on January 6th.
Right.
It is absolutely outlandish that you and others would try to, you know, use that as a rationale for why racism still exists in this country.
Well, and if we talk about January 6th, just what the person just said, thinking about there have been 1,500 people just automatically let go. And one of those, which was the most egregious, got 20 years and drug dealing and things like that. But yet he's a white male. So if you want to see how racism really works to keep privilege, all you have to do is look at January 6th. It's a poster child for that.
So 855-752-4842 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by Red Racism's own MKE, Red Racism MKE's own Lisa Jones. She's a co-chair, and Eric Fanning. We're going to broaden the conversation. Our phone line's open as always at 855-752-4842. We're going to talk a little bit about the dismantling of DEI and the dismantling of affirmative action.
Milwaukee's own speech.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Mom.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin has joined a group of 9 other states and the District of Columbia in fighting to maintain higher standards for lead in the water system. The federal rule went into effect on December 30th and is facing a legal challenge by the American Water Works Association. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the common sense rule should remain in place as lead exposure has been shown to be a health hazard, especially for children. Governor Tony Evers also announced an emergency rule raising lead standards in his State of the State address. A new projection by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau found that Wisconsin's state surplus is actually a bit larger than previously anticipated. The organization projects Wisconsin will finish the 2023-2025 budget with a surplus of $4.3 billion, and the tax revenue will be nearly $900 million higher than expected in November. Officials say the increased revenues will be a result of President Donald Trump's proposed tariffs, which are expected to increase inflation. State Republicans have pushed for tax cuts through the budget surplus. A Rice Lake man charged with homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle is set to head to trial. According to court records, 45-year-old Stephen Anderson will face trial in August after being accused of crossing the center line on County Highway SS in Barron County in September and crashing into another vehicle, killing the driver and injuring a passenger. Authorities say when they responded to the scene, they allegedly found Anderson slumped over the steering wheel with an open container before testing at the hospital showed he was intoxicated. Shell Lake School District officials say they're in the process of developing informational materials ahead of another operational referendum on the April ballot. The school board approved the referendum question earlier this month after residents narrowly voted against a similar proposal on the November ballot by about 50 votes. District officials say they want residents to hear the full situation that required them to propose the referendum and are also exploring alternative budget solutions if the referendum is voted down again in April. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Oscars are just 4 weeks away, and if you missed some of the Best Picture nominees the first time around or don't have access to the films in theaters, don't despair. The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, I'm Still Here, and Nickel Boys are unavailable to stream at the moment, but the rest of the nominees are available to watch in the comfort of your own home. Anora, Wicked, and The Substance are all on pay-per-view for anywhere from $4 to $20. 20 big ones might sound like a lot, but oftentimes is cheaper than actually going to the theater. The following potential Best Pick winners are free if you have the appropriate platforms. Conclave is on Peacock. You can catch A Real Pain on Hulu, and Emilia Perez is available on Netflix. Check them out. It will make watching the Oscars more fun. And at those prices, you can't afford not to be a couch potato. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Light snow is going to end this morning, then it will be mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy. We'll drop down to 8 above tomorrow. Mostly cloudy and a bit colder with a high of 18. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 23.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Red Racism MKE, Mr. Eric Fanning, and Lisa Jones. Eric, there were some things you wanted to say.
Yeah, I believe that your text that you read off earlier was talking about how racism doesn't exist and there's evidence for this. And I'd like to kind of counter that by saying, I believe it was Wednesday last week, Brookfield East and Wauwatosa East were playing a girls' basketball game. And there was a bench player tried to come in for Brookfield or Wauwatosa East. And there was a complaint about this young girl's, I'll say girl, this girl's hair.
Right.
Too long. Your hair is too long. And it was a black girl. And I don't know exactly where the source of the complaint was, but they even got to a point where they offered to wrap it or put it in a bun. And was still denied. I kind of personally, after hearing about this, called for the Tosa East coach could have and should have forfeited the game at that point to protect their players. I don't really have much more opinion than that. I don't know exactly how it's all played out in the last few days. But that's a sign that obviously racism, we're not post-racial. It doesn't exist. It's still here and it's still prevalent. And it's a willful ignorance for people to say that it doesn't exist.
Well, there was this misconception that once Barack Obama got elected, racism ended. And it was a misconception then. Mm-hmm. It's still a misconception now. And if you just look at all the different things that are transpiring, they've done away with affirmative action. Mm-hmm. They're working to do away with DEI, and because there's this misconception, there's this belief that DEI has benefited black people. And if you look at the list of people who have benefited from affirmative action and DEI, it is white women.
Yes.
That's just a fact. And so many people don't know. The people who are calling for the end to diversity, equity, and inclusion don't understand military veterans. That includes disabled people. That includes a whole cadre of people. And as a matter of fact, black people rank number 8 in the people who benefited from diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's just a fact. But people don't know these things. And so they go by what they hear. And so Donald Trump can come on and say, we got to do away with DEI. And there's a crescendo of people. Yeah. Do away with DEI. It's white men have been discriminated. White people are being discriminated against. Not true, Eric.
I'd like to say, I have a few opinions on that, is that what I see that as, and it's funny how when Lisa was talking about earlier, and then you mentioned what Barack Obama had said about, the idea that we're post-racial, is that it's like reflection to me, because to me, I think about all the folks that said Barack Obama brought about this racism. And that's people that look like me. All of a sudden, that was the attitude. And to think that we're at that point, I mean, we see evidence of it all the time. And what you're talking about, the DEI, basically it's signaling. I believe everybody, believes what they choose to believe. As long as you don't have some sort of an incapacity that doesn't allow you to think on a pretty basic level, I don't believe anybody is running around really believing these things. I think they choose to believe it, and it's a willful ignorance. And because it fits their narratives and their lifestyle, like, hey, what's going to work out for me? You know, there's a lot of self-centeredness and racism. It's a lot of it, whether it be your community, your family, or yourself. And it's basically like you kind of go along and you pick and choose. And when you're in a position like mine, you have that privilege to do that. You don't have to, like, take everything that comes along with you. You can go like, well, I'll accept that. I'll accept that. I have many people that I've known over the years that look and live like me that choose not to vote. How privileged can you be that you don't even feel like you need to put your ballot in there to make a decision to decide who it is? Because what you feel is whoever wins, I'm going to be all right. And that's privilege.
All right. Let's go to Ron from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Ron. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl. DEI, a short anecdote. I don't remember the woman's name, but about a week ago, I think she's a member of the Republican caucus, was blogging, and she was trying to make some kind of a sarcastic point. And she said, she made a Freudian slip, I think, because she said, we shouldn't have DEI, we should have DEI. She didn't spell it out. She had an acronym, but I thought, yeah, that's about it. They just assume all of us crawl into a hole and die because they don't like us. And by us, I mean everybody who's not them. It's like you said, it's not even just racism. It's economic segregation. It's all these other things, women, white women, women of color. They have a lot of enemies, and that's how they prosper in a authoritarian mindset.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I say Eric is spot on. I'm a veteran. I'm an educator. And I'm a white woman. And white people, in general, think obviously they're entitled, because we see it going on in our government. And I just want other people to know that there are white people that see this, they know it, and they're not part of this. I'm not part of this, but it is. It is a very big concern in the military, in our country, in the government. It's called white entitlement. Don't let anybody tell you differently, because that's what it is. And I really appreciate this show. I think people need to educate themselves. And, you know, it's not just entitlement against blacks. It's entitlement against transgender, gay people.
Immigrants.
It's the whole gamut.
Immigrants, disabled people, and even military veterans to some degree. You know, if you – the information is coming out slowly, but – the helicopter crash in D.C., there was a woman who was the pilot of the helicopter. And I was listening to some conservative talk, as I do, and they were saying, well, she's a DEI hire. And in essence, if that would have been a white man, this wouldn't have happened. But the ignorance of it is, you know, what's so outlandish, man?
Willful ignorance again. And I had read that the family of the woman won't even release her name because they know that she will be politicized. Her death will be politicized as a woman. Her own family will not release it for that reason, to protect her.
Lisa?
Well, and that's the real sad of where we're at. We are at a point of this white male patriarchy, let's just call it what it is. And if you go back and look at the times of slavery, who did the most egregious and who did the most plotting to stay in power, we have gone back over 60 years, you know, in an instant. And then we're going to have to really see how far we're going to go back, as the government is literally dismantled and torn apart. And one of the things is, we shouldn't be politicizing any veteran that died or anyone that died in that horrible plane crash. There were children, like you said, the woman veteran who was flying. This is not about politics. These are human beings that were loved by their families, that contributed to society. I think about the whole group of skaters, young people, skaters of all different racial ethnic that died in that crash, and all of the other people that died, and their lives mattered, but yet in the political realm of certain people using it for their own political reasoning, and then you have a president who will say that DEI caused the plane crash, which is utmost ridiculous. And, you know, and I feel bad for folks who feel that they don't want to release names and things like that because they don't want to become targets. They don't want their loved ones' graves, things like that. And no one should have to live in a society like that.
You know, guys, I always say, you know, I've lived to be 70 years of age, and so I lived through the civil rights struggle, and I saw the horror of racism and bigotry. And, you know, a man like Dr. Martin Luther King gave his life, and many others. And as a young man, I watched that horror. And then our nation made some promises that it never lived up to, never kept, as it related to leveling the playing field. And so they were able to dismantle affirmative action without a whimper. Mm-hmm. And I've said, you know, it was the government that said, we're going to create affirmative action predicated on the horrible, horrible reality of what happened in this nation to people of color. Black people of color didn't say, hey, create affirmative action. It was the politicians of that time, based on the fact that people were willing to stand up and bring this before the world. Mm-hmm. And so they made that decision. It had an impact on bringing blacks, some of us, into the middle class, but not all, and not as great a percentage as one would have you believe. So they did away with it. And the diversity, equity, and inclusion, which again is a misconception that, you know, this is something that's been there strictly for blacks. It's none of those things are the truth. We're having this conversation today on the Earl Ingram Show. And I'm happy to have you guys here, and thank you for extending it, for asking to come on, because the truth is just that. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times people say what James said. He's got nothing to back that up with facts. People feel like there's no racism. So when somebody says to me, and I hear it all the time, hey, Earl, you need to stop spreading that. And I say to them, you know, if you were in my shoes and you had to experience what I've experienced in my life and still experience, then, you know, this has to change, man. It has to change. It's gotten worse. And so my argument is, and I talk to people, especially in my community, what happens after my generation is gone? The people who knew the history and the people who fought against it, and all those younger people who are forthcoming, and they don't have fighters like the ones we had.
Yeah, I'd like to say that's a little bit untrue in a sense, and I'll say that only because, like, in 2020, I experienced through, you know, working with a lot of young people, those are going to be the leaders of tomorrow.
Hold on. 855-752-4842 is the number. Red Racism Zone, Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning on the Earl Ingram Show.
Which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Rid Racism Milwaukee, Lisa Jones, co-chair, Eric Fanning. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Marty from Milwaukee, good morning to you, Marty. You say what?
Good morning to you, Earl. Great show as always. Hey, Earl, that 11-year health disparity that you're talking about, that kind of sounds like what Robert from the Lead Coalition talks about Camelot. Camelot is east of that freeway, and then the rest of us, the 400,000 other Milwaukeeans, live west of the freeway. That health disparity is 100% on lack of development, lack of correct health care, bad appointees. You can't have bad leadership for 20 years and expect anything less. But, Earl, I know we want to talk about the national and Trump and everything, and the state guys are against Milwaukee. I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's kind of like an airplane. You're supposed to put the mask on yourself before you help others. I don't think we can help anyone else in this country unless Milwaukee is in a strong place. We've lost home rule. We don't have a city hall fighting for home rule for Milwaukee.
Agreed.
And at this moment, Earl, if I just finish up real quick, at this moment, Mayor Johnson on his desk is going to sign legislation to put $30 million city tax money, MPS money, county money, into the area around.
Hey, Marty, listen, man. I'll get with you, and certainly, you know, we're going to have that conversation. There's no question about it. So I'll get with you. I'll leave your number with Calvin. Thank you very much for the call. I think there was something you wanted to say.
Well, I think when we left, I was just talking about how the younger generations, you know, and what I experienced a lot since even before 2018, but like in 2018, I remember, you know, I'd moved back to the area in 2016, actually 15. And so kind of started immediately getting engaged, discovered your station at 1510 and kind of got involved with a lot of local folks because I've been away for about a decade. And when 2020 hit and things started happening on the ground, you know, I began marching and being involved in different causes. And I saw a lot of young leaders. And I thought to myself, I remember I was like, you know, there's a young woman named Mariah that I worked with a lot. And I was like, this is like today's Angela Davis in a sense. You know, you just see these people coming out and they're not educated like per se. It's not like they come from colleges and they're going to college. But, you know, they're not people that have positions of power or anything. They're just people that found it in their heart. And you can just see the leadership just come out in them. And I believe I still see them today, like in different, you know, movements and activities and fighting for justice and stuff. And you see how now they're growing. They're like in their early 20s. Now they're like mid 20s and they're going to continue. And those are going to be the people, you know, it's not as it was 2020, at least, was kind of, I'll say, crushed, you know, quicker than, say, the 60s. But the 60s was a series of failures and successes. So just like that, it's going to continue to ebb and flow. And again, you know, it's weird how I see a lot of this from like my perspective, because that's all I can see it from. And I remember in 2020 and even today, I can feel people that look like me and live like me in a sense. And in the areas I live in and stuff, there's this constant pressure to keep things down. And what you were talking about before, I think, about how they don't want you to bring this up. Why? And I think the word is really, why do you keep making people aware of this, is what they're mm-hmm. actually saying. Don't make people aware of this. We want to just keep this the way it works for us. And that's not just all people that look like
us. So let me clarify something. It's certainly not the radio station. The radio station encourages me to have the dialogue and conversations that I have. I know that there are probably people in this audience who aren't very, you know, inclined to hear this kind of conversation.
Can I kind of speak yes. to that? You know, Rid Racism has done many book studies over the years. There is a term out there, white fragility. I'm just going to say it, white fragility, that kind of just like what you said of maybe some of the people in your audience that just maybe not. This is hard to hear. This is hard to hear some of the history, just like when I see Dr. Gates with some of those celebrities and then they find out that some of their relatives were slave owners. And, you know, you know, it's one of those kind of things. They don't know what to do with that or to understand that the systems have been built. And so the last caller talked about the system of leaders in Milwaukee. But let me just be very clear. The systems that we have were built on white supremacy culture and were meant to benefit a certain group, and they did not look like me. It's not like my ancestors built the systems and structures. And so here's the thing is that we're much more communal than what we think we are. And sometimes, you know, and the way politics is, it tries to make it to be like conformity. And sometimes I think we see that play out. But then also, too, we have to remember there are things that the state does to divest. There's things that the federal government does to intentionally divest. And I tell folks, I said, if you want to do something deeper to learn, I would encourage all of your listeners here, if you really want to know the real Dr. King, have you read his last book, Where Do We Go From Here? And have you heard his sermon? You need to do that.
All right. So got to end it there. Thank you, guys. We're certainly going to bring you back. It's Black History Month. You know, if ever there was a time to do it, it's now. So we'll bring you guys back, certainly, in the coming weeks. Up next on the Earl Ingram Show, Casey Washington. He's a young man who has reached national recognition in acting. Here, right out of the bowels of the city of Milwaukee. Next on the
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and have an all new What's Worse. Your chance to call in, have your voice heard. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Elon Musk now has access to the federal government's funding agencies. ABC's Christiane Cordero explains.
Sources confirming that Elon Musk has been given access to the U.S. Treasury Department's vast payment system. The move essentially puts the government's multi-trillion dollar checkbook in the hands of the world's richest man, and his message about wasteful government spending has been clear.
Your money is being wasted, and the Department of Government Efficiency is going to fix that.
The official who oversaw the federal payment system has been placed on administrative leave after he resisted giving Musk and DOGE officials access to the system.
Staffers at USAID were instructed to stay out of that agency's Washington headquarters after Musk announced that President Trump had agreed with him to shut down the agency. The tariffs against Mexico, Canada, and China will go into effect first thing tomorrow. Ontario Premier Doug Ford announcing he's ripping up a contract with Elon Musk's Starlink Internet services. This is ABC News.
I'm James.